It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This week, Erin Hills Golf Course in eastern Wisconsin hosts the 2025 U.S. Women's Open, where players from all over the world compete.
Wisconsin has hosted a number of major tournaments in the last decade, and new players, especially women, have been picking up clubs and hitting the links.
Wisconsin has gone from a hidden gem into the golf world to an unhidden gem. Last year, Golf Digest ranked the state as number one for public play courses.
So what goes into creating a course that can host a group of the best golf professionals and amateurs in the world?
In the run-up to the event, last week I talked to Jim Lombardo, head golf professional at Erin Hills, and Sue Shapcott, a former Pro Tour player and founder and director of Change Golf Instruction in Madison. Jim, Erin Hills in the national, even international spotlight. What does it take to get a course ready to rock for an event like this?
Well, thanks for asking. Yeah, it's been a couple-year process where the USGA, you know, a lot of site visits ahead of this year's championship. They'll want to get the course set up the way they want it for the championship, so they'll work with our turf department on preparations that are even needed as far as early as last summer as to how, you know, we're going to prepare the golf course, especially when we put it to bed in the fall to get ready for what we need it to look like for this spring. But, you know, as far as infrastructure and all that, all these site visits that they've been doing and all of their planning, it takes a good couple of years to get ready to put on this championship. And, you know, we've been working carefully with them, and I think we're ready to go.
And Sue, can you put it into perspective for us? How big a deal is it to have this U.S. Women's Open Championship here in Wisconsin?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, as we know, then Wisconsin is a very strong golf state. Lots of good players, lots of good courses. And so when we have championships here in Wisconsin, then it just energizes the golf population even more. So it's just a good deal all around.
Jim, this is, I think, only the third time we've hosted this here in Wisconsin. It's your first go for Erin Hills. What does it take to get, you know, an event like this that could happen anywhere in the country here in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, obviously we're selected by the USGA, and it kind of helps that we've had other championships before. Obviously, we had the 2017 U.S. Open, 2011 U.S. Amateur, 2008 U.S. Women's Amateur Public Links, and the 2022 United States Mid-Amateur Championship. So, I mean, that all really helps in their selection process. But, you know, they go nationwide to try and find the best places to host their championships. And I think they really like what we have to offer infrastructure-wise and staff-wise for this championship and golf course-wise. So all of that goes into, you know, takes into account for awarding us this championship. And we're just very fortunate to have been awarded this one.
Sue, Jim is the host. You've been a participant in the U.S. Women's Open. What is going through the minds of these players as they reach the course and evaluate it and figure out how they're going to play it?
Yes, I played way back when in a U.S. Open at Oakmont. And the U.S. Open has always been the pinnacle of women's professional, I would say worldwide. So, you know, all players that are playing in this tournament, whether they are top ranked players, whether they've come into the field through qualifying, it's going to be a big deal. They're going to be excited. There's usually great fans, and that's going to be the case at Erin Hills. The course is going to be more challenging probably than any other that they play throughout the year. The course that I played at Oakmont, then, you know, the greens, the members used to like to tell us that they were faster than Augusta, and I can believe it. So the course is going to be challenging. It's going to be set up hard. It's going to be in great condition. And just looking at the scorecard for Erin Hills, the setup there, then at Erin Hills, the course is also really long. So, Jim, I think I'm right in saying it's like you've got it set up at 68,000 yards for the Women's Open this week, which is a very long course for any player, particularly for, you know, the Women's US Open. And it looks like there's seven par fours over 400 yards, which, you know, back in my day when I played, that wasn't the case. So, you know, courses have gotten longer and longer for the Women's US Open, making them even harder as the players have improved and got stronger and got better.
Well, that's interesting. Jim, what goes into designing the holes, the courses here to set that challenge level?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously Erin Hills is a very challenging golf course. And the one thing that we have is length out here. We can make this golf course stretch, and which we did for the U.S. Men's Open, up to 7,800 yards. Now, obviously the women are not going to play at that, but we have a variety of tee boxes out here where the USGA will come in and walk the golf course and figure out exactly how far they want this to play based on each hole and what tee boxes they're going to use. And it's the length, I think, you know, every course is going to have a defense. And I think ours is going to be, you know, the length. And obviously if it gets really windy or conditions change, we have the flexibility to move up or back on every hole. So I think the flexibility is what they look at.
So both of you mentioned the challenge of the course. What goes into looking at a course and saying, oh, this one's challenging? So it's like length is part of it. I imagine where hazards are, that kind of thing. For us non-golfers out there, describe what we mean by a challenging course.
I would like to say that at this point in my career, any course is pretty challenging for me. But at the height of my career then, you know, is the rough. How thick is the rough? So if you miss the fairway by, you know, a yard or 2 yards, how penalizing is it? You know, there's some courses where, you know, you can miss the fairway by 10 yards, 20 yards, and you're not that penalized. You can still play the next shot. Other courses, US Open courses, typically, you're just off the fairway and you're in thick rough where you might not even be able to, you know, have a shot at the green. You might need to just pitch out onto the fairway. So, you know, the penalty for mishits tends to be what makes the course hard. And then when you get onto the green, at these championship courses, then the greens tend to be hard and they tend to be fast. And so if you're on the wrong side of the pin, you can hit a great shot into the green. But if you're on the wrong side of the pin, then, you know, your putt is either going to go in or it's probably going to be a three putt. So, you know, pin positions and green undulations also go into making it difficult.
Interesting. And Jim, as you design the course, I assume the Golf Association has something to say about it. Are you looking at each of those factors, those subtle things that, you know, I might look at and not even recognize?
Boy, she summed it up well. And you know, like I said, it's the USGA, this is their show. So they're the ones that set up the golf course the way they want it. And, you know, we had a little input, but, you know, not much. They know about this place, so they know how to set it up. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, off the tee, you know, Sue mentioned it. I mean, you got to be able to hit the fairways. If you don't out here, the rough is going to be long. The intermediate rough is going to be long. The fescue is starting to pop and grow. So that's going to be a challenge. But if you're in the fairway and it's, you know, the ability to hit greens and the green complexes and missing it, if you're going to miss it, you got to miss it on the right side out here, or you're going to be looking at larger numbers. So all of that goes into it. They've, you know, taken a lot of steps towards how they want to set up the golf course. And I think they've got it. I think they've nailed it. I think they got it great.
Let's name some names. Sue, who are you watching for in this tournament?
Well, I think Nelly Korda is always a good bet. I think she may be bookie's favorite for this year. She's got the game. She's long. She's shown that she can win. She likes winning. She enjoys the pressure. Last year's winner, Yuka Saso, then, you know, she's another good bet for this year. But, you know, the women's game, the field is so deep now and so strong that, you know, any players, or in theory, any player can win. Now, it's a lot to win your first tournament at the US Open, but potentially, you know, all of these players in this field can win. So I'll be watching Nelly Korda. I'm also going to be watching out for a player from my home club in Bristol, England, called Callie McGinty. She was a qualifier that came through, and it's going to be for her first U.S. Open. So I'm going to be pulling for her, too.
We're talking about the 2025 U.S. Women's Open and the growing popularity of golf here in the state. We've got Jim Lombardo with us, Erin Hills Golf Course head professional, and Sue Shapcott, former pro tour player, head of Change Golf Instruction in Madison. Zooming out a little bit, Jim, I think, you know, years ago, I'd have conversations on the air about golf, and Wisconsin, I think, was seen as maybe this hidden gem or sleeper around the country. I don't know that that's true anymore. I think people, Wisconsin's really on the map now when it comes to golf. Do I have that right?
Oh, yeah. I think Wisconsin, based on course rankings now, I think at least in the top two as far as destination states for golf, you know, right up there with, you know, with California, you know, with obviously the Kohler complex and their, you know, Whistling Straits and Black Wolf Run and then Sand Valley added to that. Now you have a nice trifecta in this state of awesome destination golf that, you know, if you would have said 25 years ago and listed all the championships that Wisconsin's had, U.S. Open, Ryder Cup, PGA Championships, U.S. Women's Open, United States Amateurs, you would have not bet that that would have happened here. But now you look at 2025 and all the championships that Wisconsin's had, it's remarkable. And I know the whole state is very proud of golf we have.
And we've lured in players from as far away as Bristol, England. Sue, what is it that appeals to you about Wisconsin as somebody who's played at the pro level and now teaches golf?
Wisconsin is, like you said, it was a sleeping giant, but now Wisconsin does nothing to hide its love of golf. So even though we have a short season here, the golfers are absolutely golf mad. As soon as the snow clears, then players are out there just itching to get back out onto the course, and they stay that way until the courses close again. So it's really the enthusiasm for golf and the love of golf that makes Wisconsin a great state to be a golfer in, but also to have, you know, a golf instruction business. Then, you know, golfers want to learn, they want to improve, they love traveling to the various courses in Wisconsin that are world level, like Erin Hills and Sand Valley. And so it is in some ways, it is a surprising golfer's paradise here.
I agree. I talked to the USGA and you know, Erin Hills offers the infrastructure for what they need to put on a championship, because we're almost a blueprint for what they need. But in talking to them, it's the fan base. The Wisconsin fan base is one of the top reasons why they're here, along with our facility, of course. But they know that Wisconsin, when it comes to golf and being a fan, we bring it. So,
Sue, another thing that's changed over the years, women in golf, huge jump in numbers, according to some recent data. I read somewhere you had a story going back a ways to a tournament. You showed up and there was a sign at the club. What was it? Something like no dogs or women?
That's right. So that was in 1988. That was the Curtis Cup, which is a match Great Britain and Ireland versus the United States. I was playing for Great Britain and Ireland, and the course was Royal St. George's, which is an open championship course in the UK. And at that time, then, there was no women members allowed at the course. There wasn't any women's changing rooms, but it was where we played the Curtis Cup, and that was a sign that was in the parking lot as you rolled up into the course. Now, you know, interestingly, you know, that was however many years ago, and one of the things that golf bodies have done, certainly in the UK, is that if courses want to stay as part of the Open Championship operation, then they needed to address some of these inequalities for memberships and accessibility. So that sign is no longer there. Women are allowed to be members at the courses. And so the golf's governing bodies have, I think, done a nice job of leveraging the allure of major championships by getting courses to bring their membership up into the kind of modern era. And so, you know, the United States is actually doing much better than the UK is. The US numbers, I think it's almost 30% or around 30% of all golfers in the US are women. You know, even 20 years ago, I think that was probably like 15 or 20. And in the UK, it still hovers around 15%. So women's golf in the US has really exploded in the last 10 years.
And Jim, from your vantage at Erin Hills for, what, a couple decades now, have you seen that change? Have you seen more women playing, and maybe in the fan base for that matter?
Oh yeah, yeah. We've seen an uptick, and you know we're obviously trying to get more women out here to play golf. What we're really trying to shoot for is getting more groups of women to come out, kind of on a buddy trip type of thing, where they can get away and spend some time with their friends. Erin Hills, on a day-to-day basis, for women golfers, this course sets up great for them. Almost better than it sets up for the men, I think, based on the tees they play. I think it's wonderfully challenging for them and breathtakingly beautiful. And I, you know, we're trying to get more of those groups out here. And I think this championship is going to showcase that a lot more. And I think we'll see a lot more of that coming up.
Sue, another stereotype about golf is that it's kind of, you know, an elite sport. I think that's been always less true in Wisconsin, is my understanding. But I understand in your work as a golf instructor, you are trying to make golf accessible to a wider variety of people. Can you talk about that a little?
Yes. You know, one of the stereotypes, as you say, about golf is that it is elite and it's exclusionary. And it certainly can be that. But, you know, golf is also an every man's game. You know, where I grew up in the UK, then golf is very accessible in terms of how much it costs to play. You know, club memberships there, you know, still cost under $1,000 for a year's membership for unlimited golf. So, you know, it is accessible. And it's accessible here in the States, particularly at public courses. And public courses are a great, you know, entryway into the game. And so with our programs with the City of Madison, then we make sure that our programs are affordable, they're accessible. We have group classes, we have private instruction, we have something for everyone. And we try and price our programs so that, you know, they're no more than if someone went to take a yoga class. And so, you know, golf can be exclusionary, it can be expensive, but it doesn't have to be, and it isn't in many places. And so it is a game for everyone. It's got great health benefits, and you know, getting more people experiencing golf and seeing the benefits that it brings to them, both health-wise, social-wise, is, you know, really what we're committed to with our programming at the City of Madison.
Jim, as we wrap up, I know a regular hobby in Wisconsin is watching the weather. I'm guessing over the course of this thing, nobody's going to be watching the weather closer than you. What are your hopes?
Well, I think the cruddy weather we had the last couple of days is gone now, and the long range forecast looks really, really good. So, you know, we've been talking about the last couple of days with, you know, rain and a little chilly here, get that out of the way, because the weather always rebounds around here. So the long range forecast looks really good. Looks like upper 60s, low 70s, pleasant temperatures to get out and watch golf, play golf, and enjoy the U.S. Women's Open. We think that the forecast looks great, and we're very happy about it.
We'll leave it there. Jim, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. It was great time. Thank you for having me.
And Sue, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Sue Shapcott is founder and director of Change Golf Instruction based out of Madison. She's a former professional tour player. And Jim Lombardo is head golf professional for Erin Hills Golf Course, host of the 2025 U.S. Women's Open. I talked to them last week in the run-up to this week's tournament.